Well, good evening to everyone. I want to welcome everybody to this very special Friday with Friday, as it happens to be a Sunday with Friday. Today is Sunday, October 9th. Happy Founders Day to all the brothers that got to celebrate this past weekend. Just wanted to remind everybody who's in the meeting that you have control over the participants tab in the chat, and please feel free to use those to participate during the presentation tonight. And with that in mind, I think we can go ahead and move straight to our introduction. Brothers, allow me to introduce Brother Tanner Herod. Brother Herod is a composer, guitarist, and educator based in Lincoln, Nebraska. Originally from Murphy, Texas, Herod is pursuing the Doctor of Musical Arts degree in composition at the University of Nebraska, Lincoln, Glencorf School of Music. As a graduate assistant, Herod serves as the assistant director of the Flyover New Music Series and also teaches applied composition, history of rock, and oral skills. He received the Master of Music degree in music theory from the University of Oklahoma and graduated magna cum laude from the Texas A&M University Commerce. I'm going to say T-A-M-U-C later in the introduction, where he received the Bachelor of Science degree in music with an all-level teacher certification. As a guitarist, Herod specializes in musical theater, jazz, and contemporary chamber music. Recent performance highlights include the Nebraska premiere of Something Rotten at Ralston Community Theater. In February of 2020, he played the mandolin for the world premiere of Tony Maglione's Dust Bowl with the Verdigris Ensemble at the AT&T Performing Arts Center in Dallas, Texas. Brother Herod was initiated into the Pi Psi chapter of Phi Mu Alpha Sinfonia at TAMUC in the spring of 2015. While at TAMUC, he served as chapter secretary, warden, and alumni relations officer. During the 2016-17 academic year, Brother Herod had the honor of serving Province 32 as collegiate province representative. As CPR, Brother Herod helped to found the annual Province 32 Officer Training Workshop held each Labor Day weekend to prepare chapter officers for the upcoming school year. He served as the Province Secretary of Province 8 from 2019 to 2020. He now serves as the Deputy Province Governor of Province 6. Herod is the recipient of the Othmer Fellowship and the 2022 Outstanding Teaching Assistant Award at UNL. His piece, Feather Fall, was selected for performance in the New Creations Workshop at the National Flute Association's 50th Convention in Chicago. His new work, The Door We're Not to Enter, for trombone and guitar, will be premiered this Halloween at the Flyover New Music Series by its commissioner, trombonist Ian Rutherford, and guitarist Alessio Olivieri. A live stream will be available on the Glencorf School of Music's website, and we'll get that website from you later on. Yeah. Herod is happily married to Millie Herod, a flutist and arts administrator who serves as the Xi A province officer for Sigma Alpha Iota. That would be the state of Nebraska. The title of his talk is Applying to Grad School for Music, Demystifying the Process. Brothers, please help me welcome Brother Tanner Herod.
All right. Thanks so much for having me. Can you give me screen sharing?
Literally the only thing that I forgot before we got started was to check about that. Okay. Share screen, enable for all. Go right ahead, sir.
All right, perfect. Sorry, my lovely wife is there in the background opening and shutting doors.
Hi, Millie.
Okay, so just want to make sure we've got everything going. Can everybody see the slideshow? Okay.
Yep, looking good.
All righty. Hold on. I'm sorry. You're going to have to give me one second. I'm at my wife's desk, and somehow her chair like does not like me. I need to switch chairs. Okay, we're doing good now. Well, thank you so much for having us. Thank you, George, for being here, and thanks to anybody watching in retrospect. Real quick before we get started, since it's just the three of us here in person, George, can you tell me a little bit about where you are in school And like, if you're thinking about going to grad school for music at a certain point in the future, or if you're just hanging out.
Let's see. I'm a third year right now, so I'm kind of figuring out what it is my next plan is. I'm definitely planning on going to graduate school, probably not for music, but at the same time, quite a few of my chapter brothers are looking at going to grad school for music, so I'm going to direct them to this session in retrospect.
Excellent. That's great to hear. Some things I'll say could be a little bit universal, but some things are going to be a little bit specific, especially once we start talking about the application process. Let me make sure. So anyways, before Brother Friday asked for a bio, I had thrown together a couple of, you know, just resume highlights, especially where I am degree wise and where I am in Sinfonia right now. I am in my last year of my DMA at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, Go Big Red, and currently a student, but hoping to be a candidate in just a couple of weeks here after my comprehensive exams will be over. And I did my master's degree at the University of Oklahoma. I started that degree in 2018, and that's kind of where this presentation started, was way back in 2018 as I was entering my master's degree. Here's a lovely picture of me and my wife. As a little side tangent, we got married in 2020, but because of the pandemic, we didn't have our big ceremony with everybody until this past June. It was a really lovely ceremony, but she has been a big contributor to this project because we've been working on this kind of stuff together as a team since 2018, pre our engagement. And our work in this area, specifically talking about the grad school application process, comes from a group called 4 Minutes and 33 Seconds Grad School Posting. And I have to give a little bit of context to this group to kind of explain the history of this presentation. There is a group on Facebook called 4 Minutes and 33 Seconds Danger Posting, which when it started in about 2017, it really was focused as like a meme group, and a splinter of another meme group on Facebook called Prelude, Fugue, and Shit Posting, which we don't really have time to get into the history of that group. 433 has become a very interesting community, my thoughts on which I don't have enough time to talk about because they are mixed. But 433 has splintered into several different niche areas of interest. Kind of the main prerequisite of joining 433 grad school posting is that you are also a member of 433 danger posting, the main group. And this is really kind of a subgroup for people who are members of 433 danger posting that are also interested in grad school. This was a group that Millie and I founded in the summer of 2018. I had just been accepted to the University of Oklahoma, and I had not had a ton of resources about grad school, nor did I really know what I was getting myself into for that matter. So 433 grad school posting came about essentially as a way of getting grad students together just to talk about our grad school experience. And gradually over time, that evolved from talking about the grad school experience to also helping people who were interested in going to grad school go to grad school. Since we started in 2018, we've also been joined kind of on our administrative team by a friend and colleague of mine named Omar Roy, who is assistant professor of piano and piano pedagogy at the University of South Carolina. So the three of us really run this group and have the most institutional knowledge about what we've talked about in the past and things like that. We've had people in this group go to a bazillion different places, any place you can kind of think of, people going to Peabody, people going to the University of California, San Diego, the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, Wichita State, where my wife did her master's degree. We have people from all over, and it's been a really helpful group for people. And now we are starting to look at opportunities to take the information that we've cultivated in this private group and bring it to a wider audience that could use this information. This talk right here today is the first of such instances. So a lot of this information we've never really presented in this format. We've mostly been through answering people's questions in Facebook groups, but now we're really excited to present this material. So before we get into the grad school process, I think it's fair to ask if I should go to grad school in the first place, because it's a commitment. I've been in school since I was 5-6 years old, and I could have a job with a salary. I could be a band director right now with my music ed degree and be making a real salary instead of $11,000 a year. But there was reasons for me going to grad school. So the first question I ask anybody is, should you go to grad school? And here are a couple of things that you might want to ask yourself during this time of figuring out if this is the right path for you. First of all, why are you going to grad school? Why am I going to grad school? For me, I knew that I wanted more in-depth training in music theory and composition. If you'll notice, If you'll notice on my CV or the little bit of my resume here, you'll notice that all three of my degrees are in different majors. I have an undergraduate degree in music education, I have a master's degree in music theory, and I have a doctorate, or I'm about to have a doctorate in composition. My academic journey was one where I grew up in the Texas band system, and I really enjoyed my experiences in high school band. But as I was getting ready to go to college and I wanted to study music, the things that I were told at the time was, you can be a orchestral performer, you can play French horn in a symphony and maybe get a symphony job that pays enough money, but probably not, and you're going to be really poor and not make any money, or you can be a band director and make public school teacher salaries. And those were the two career options that were presented to me when I was 18 years old. So I decided to go get a band director degree and realized about halfway through that the life of a band director was not for me personally. I have a lot of respect for people who do teach our children in the K through 12 system, but I knew that that was not for me and that my interests were in academia and more specifically in music theory and composition. So I started looking for programs where I could work towards that goal, which ties into my the next two questions that I listed down here. Who do I want to be when I graduate? This is something I'm honestly still kind of working on, but I definitely know more about myself than I do when I started this degree. One thing I will point out is that grad school is tough. It's mentally challenging. And in the short term, there's not a lot of financial gain from it. So people who know why they're going to grad school tend to be more successful. I have certainly run across at both my master's degree and my doctorate, people who have enrolled in graduate programs because they just didn't know what to do with themselves besides going to school. And those people tend to not be as successful post-graduation as people who are coming into grad school with a specific plan. So I can't stress enough the importance of knowing why you want to be here in the first place. And then the other question that we're going to talk about a lot in this presentation is, will my studies be funded? Like I said, I make $11,000 a year from the University of Nebraska Lincoln. That was about what I made at the University of Oklahoma. And the thing that makes that financially work for me is that I get a tuition waiver as part of my assistantship. And I also am blessed here at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln with the Othmer Fellowship that pays for the rest of my fees. So I make a little bit of a refund going to school, which has saved me a lot of debt going into a job market that is shaky at best. And I'm not saying that you have to go to grad school with an assistantship or a scholarship or something, but the finances of going to grad school are extremely important. And Brother Friday brings up a good point that asking yourself every once in a while why you're here in your undergrad is also a really good thing. I like to talk a lot about my artistic persona. So as you, Brother Friday mentioned in his introduction of me, I'm not just a composer. I am somebody who does a lot of composing, but I'm also somebody who is very passionate about performing, especially on guitar nowadays. I don't play a lot of French horn anymore. So if you were to ask me about my artistic persona, I might say something to the effect of 45% composer, 40% performer, and then 15% educator, theorist. And that is something that I reevaluate at least once a semester and thinking about, you know, am I still like this much of a composer? Is right now is performing something that is a more important thing for me? I mean, I encourage you all in whatever field you're in to think about who you are as a professional and what percentage of your professional life is geared in any specific aspect. There are people who are 100% clarinet players. And we need those people in the world. So the question is that you? And it could be or couldn't be. And that's okay. Any answer is okay. But this is the point of the presentation where I really encourage you to think about yourself, who you are now, where you want to be in 5 or 6 years. All right. Let's see. Go to the next slide. So what can I study in grad school? I've got a couple of different columns here. There's a lot of different degrees, and then there's a lot of different concentrations of those degrees. As a music student, generally at the master's level, you are probably either a master of music student or a master of music education student. A lot of times those are two-year degrees. Typically done in residence, meaning you live in that place for at least a year or two. Although the music education, the Master of Music Education is sometimes offered as a summers only program where you work on your master's degree over the course of, say, 4 summers so that you can be teaching in the field while you're working on that degree. The Master of Arts and the Master of Fine Arts tend to apply to music students in a little bit of a different way. Master of Arts is generally offered A for the arts administration degree, which is not necessarily a music degree, but more of a fine arts related degree. The Master of Arts degree can also be awarded en route towards a Doctor of Philosophy. So some people will leave undergrad and go for a PhD in music theory or musicology. And while they are in that doctoral program, they complete enough coursework and write a paper that gets them the Master of Arts degree en route. That is a degree that you see at different places, but not as common as the Master of Music degree. Master of Fine Arts is probably the rarest for music students, but some places do offer their master's degree as a Master of Fine Arts. Similarly, the doctoral degrees that you will see the most common are the Doctor of Musical Arts, the DMA, which is what I'm pursuing right now, and the Doctor of Philosophy, the PhD. DMAs tend to be towards what we call applied areas, so things like conducting, composition, jazz studies, performance, where PhDs tend to go towards more academic areas, such as music education, musicology, ethnomusicology, music theory. And then at certain places, you'll see those things called different things. Indiana and Florida State still call their performance degrees the Doctor of Music, not the Doctor of Musical Arts. So those people who graduate from those schools have the letters DM after their names. They're not dungeon masters necessarily. They could be, but they are doctors of music. And I believe the only school I can think of that offers the Doctor of Arts degree for performers and stuff is the University of Northern Colorado. Doctor of Arts is a degree that is offered at very few institutions, and there's only one I can think of off the top of my head. This other column is a bunch of different majors that you could be studying during this degree. One of the things that I loved about grad school is that I get to work with people from all sorts of different musical backgrounds. So some of my very close friends are jazz studies majors, but also classical performance majors. A brother from Province 32 as well, who's up here at Nebraska doing his master's degree as a musicology major. And getting to work with so many different people is great. There's also a lot of degrees on here, such as musicology and music theory, that are offered at the graduate level, but not necessarily at the undergraduate level. There's few places that offer an undergraduate degree in music history or music theory. So sometimes you go to grad school to specialize in a field that you did not necessarily specialize in during your undergrad. Case in point, I did my master's degree in music theory. That was not necessarily a thing that could have happened in my undergrad. And there's probably a lot of other fields that we could talk about. We could talk about music technology probably, and other things, but I wanted to give kind of some of the big things that people think about when they're majoring in grad school. And there's also subspecialties. So conductors typically either will specialize in wind band conducting, choral conducting, or orchestral conducting. Performance majors certainly specialize on various instruments. And people in academic areas such as music theory and musicology will have research interests that are really important to their personas as academics, such as maybe video game music or Baroque opera or things like that. So there's a lot of different, there's a wide breadth of options for study in grad school, but grad school is also at the same time the place where you are specializing in a specific area. So I'm a doctoral student in composition. So my primary work is as a composer with a related area in jazz studies. So I do a little, I've taken extra coursework in jazz during this degree. I'll pause here for any questions from Brother Friday or Brother Wasson.
Yeah, I do have a question at this point. So you mentioned that, so as you're pursuing your Doctor of Music here, with would composition essentially be what your major is to somebody who is pursuing like a bachelor's degree right now?
Yes, essentially. There's paperwork things that I don't necessarily care to talk about, but yes, my major area is composition. So I take private lessons every semester in composition, where I'm working on whatever music I'm working on, and I go to my lesson teacher, Greg Simon, who is a brother from the University of Puget Sound, and we talk about the music I'm writing for an hour, and we set goals and things like that, and the recitals that I've given during my degree have been my composition recitals. So I did a big recital last spring that was just music I had been writing while here in Nebraska. And next semester, I will give a recital on my final composition, which serves essentially as the equivalent of my dissertation. So I'm going to be writing a big piece for chamber orchestra, and it will be on a recital next semester. And then I'll defend the writing of that piece before my committee, and hopefully walk away with a Doctor of Musical Arts degree.
Very cool. So are these technically considered though concentrations rather than majors?
Yes. So if you were to look at what the document that I call, that we call the Program of Studies here at UNL, you will see that my major is music, my concentration is composition, and my related area is jazz studies. And that is different to confuse people even more. That is different than somebody whose major is music and whose concentration is jazz studies composition. I am a composer who does a little bit of jazz. I'm not necessarily a jazz composer, if that makes any sense.
Now, I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this one, but I'm asking you this for the benefit of those who are going to be viewing this.
Yeah.
When you are pursuing a doctorate like this, there is no such equivalent thing as a minor, correct?
Yes. So there is really. So certain schools, and we're going to talk about this here in a minute when I talk about exploring degree options, but doctoral programs will either offer something called a cognate or a related area. These are optional things. They're essentially minors. So my related area is jazz studies. I'm essentially doing a minor in jazz while being a quote unquote classical composer with all of the baggage that phrase has. But I could have done a related area in musicology. I could have done a related area in women and gender studies if those things had been relevant to my research and things that I had wanted to pursue. Here at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, which is the thing I can speak the best on, a related area consists of 15 credit hours in one specific field. So I took 15 credits of jazz work as electives, essentially, and then getting a specific question in my comprehensive exams about that topic. So when I take my comprehensive exams next week, there is going to be a question about jazz specifically that I will have to answer. So you can do minor and related areas in your doctoral degree. That is much less common at the master's level. Minors kind of go away at the master's degree most of the time and pop back up in the doctoral degree. Everything I say in this presentation, by the way, is on the caveat that every school is different. So the best information that you can ever get is by looking at a school's individual website and policies. Because each school is going to operate a little bit differently than each other. So at certain schools, there is no doctoral minor, but at many schools, there is. Welcome to grad school. It's fun. So the other question I like to ask is, what do I want out of grad school? Do I want to study with specific faculty? Is there a composer at this school that I want to study with more than a composer at another school? Again, will my studies be funded? Which we've talked about a little bit already. Are the opportunities I want available to me? And again, I'm going to use the composing example. Are there opportunities for pieces that I write to get played? I mentioned, or in my bio mentioned that I'm the assistant director of the Flyover New Music Series. Flyover is a recital series that we put on 5 times an academic year that is exclusively focused on the music of UNL composers. And UNL composers have to be on 2 Flyover concerts an academic year. So not only are there opportunities for composers here at Nebraska to get their music played, we require your music to get played. So that was something that I wanted to know. Does the curriculum align with my educational goals? So as Brother Friday and I were just talking about, I really wanted a school where I could do a related area in jazz. That was important to me. So when certain schools said that there wasn't room in the degree program for doing a related area or a cognate, I took those schools off my list because that's not what I want. But maybe that school that I took off the list is a perfect fit for you. But it takes digging and research to look at those things. Can I develop my skills professionally outside of the institution? Are there opportunities around town for music to be played? Can I work as a professional and not only boost my CV, but boost my income outside of the academy, which is important. And then the last thing, which you also need to think about, can I live in this place for 2 to 5 years? I lived in Norman, Oklahoma for 2 years, and there's plenty of jokes you can make about Oklahoma. And now I've been living in Lincoln, Nebraska since 2022. And crucially, I should say, I have made my wife live in Lincoln, Nebraska since 2020. And the two of us have built a home here in Nebraska over the last couple of years. And that was a sacrifice that we both had to make because neither of us necessarily envisioned us going to the middle of the country to begin with. So I'm always going to be grateful to my wife for giving up time in her life. And yes, everybody should always be giving Millie rounds of applause all the time. Absolutely. But that was a decision we had to make as a team and as a family, was could we live in Lincoln, Nebraska for 3 years? And apparently the answer was yes, because we're almost at the end of this journey. And maybe we hope to stay here, but we'll see what the future brings. So before the application cycle begins, or before you go on the market looking for schools, the advice I give is gather data about as many schools as you can. So I'm going to stop sharing for just a minute and pull up another document. So give me just a second. I'll also use this time to talk about if there's any more questions that have come up. Okay. Seeing as there's no questions right now, I love spreadsheets. So this was the spreadsheet that I had been working on while I was looking for my degree. I should also say that composition sometimes is a DMA and sometimes it's a PhD, which is why it says this on here. And at the end of the day, I chose the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, but I did not start with just the University of Nebraska-Lincoln on my radar. So we're going to look through my list from a long time ago. Let's start here in August and see where we're at. I want to go a little bit farther back. Even farther. Okay, this is a great place to start. I started this spreadsheet, by the way, in April of 2018. You can see that that's right before I started my master's degree, was when I started thinking about the doctorate, because I knew that this was the direction I was heading. And so at this point in whenever we are, March of 2019, I had 25 schools on my list. And these were all of the things that I was looking at. First of all, who do I need to contact if there's any questions? So a lot of these are composition professors or people who are in charge of the composition area. What degree am I getting? I need to know the language that I'm using when talking to these people. So here at Indiana, it was the DM. At Eastman, I would have been going for the PhD. And so that's something important. How much is that application going to cost? For instance, Eastman is a big time conservatory. So do I want to spend $75 on an application that's going to be extraordinarily competitive? That's a real factor, is how much do all of these application costs add up to? And spoiler alert, I did not apply to 25 schools. when is the deadline for that application? Most you'll notice are on December 1st, but there's some variance in here. Eastman was November 1st, which was crazy. And Cornell, you had until January 15th to finish that application. Where could me and my soon-to-be wife be living in the next couple of years? What all I needed to know in my application requirement? Some composition programs, believe it or not, require you to learn a foreign language. So is that something that I want to spend elective credits doing? So that's a factor at Michigan or Eastman. Can I do a minor? There's plenty of places that offer different minors and what I could do. But I noticed that Cleveland Institute of Music did not offer a minor. Some places you needed to take two minors, like here at Michigan, you needed to do two minors. And then on March 17th, this was my ranking of these schools. So you can see that on March 17th, 2019, the University of Nebraska-Lincoln was placed at number 8 on my list. That changed. Obviously, I'm here. And I'm really happy to be here. But in March of 2019, I didn't think it was going to be the right fit for me. Also, I wanted to know what the status of Find Me Alpha was at each of these schools. That was something that was very important to me. So I know, so for instance, like the Upsilon chapter here at UNL, but at let's see, what school are we looking at? Cleveland Institute of Music, no chapter right now. So that list changed a lot. To jump to September of 2019, that list had shrunk to 7 schools. Seven schools. And then by October 6th, probably about the same. November 30th, it was down to these. So over time, I was deleting schools from this list. Does anybody have any questions about this big spreadsheet I've got here, or want to look at anything in a little bit more depth while we have the camera on it?
I just wanted to comment. This is really impressive. Anybody who can do even a fraction of what you've done here in terms of organization is really going above and beyond.
Well, thanks. I really encourage you to organize your thoughts in some way. That can be a spreadsheet, but you know, I know what you want out of school. And that, again, that is a secret to success, is please have an idea of what you're wanting to get yourself into, because it's going to change again once we go through. So that was something I started way back, a year and a half before the cycle started. Generally speaking, the cycle starts in about August, the year before you want to go to school. So I started my degree here at UNL in the fall of 2020. So I started really thinking about schools in the fall of 2019. I recommend at this point to narrow your schools to around 10 choices to contact. There's going to be a lot of work in knowing what schools you want to go to, and it can be a lot to manage. I deleted schools for a variety of reasons. One was they didn't offer the curriculum I wanted. Sometimes it was as simple as the website was so bad and so hard to navigate that it wasn't worth my time to figure out. And I deleted schools full stop because the website was too confusing. And so I'm not at that school anymore. But once it got to about August 1st, I had about 10 schools left on my list. At which point I started reaching out to potential supervisors and potential admissions officers. Many schools in music, especially ones that are at bigger institutions, such as the University of Nebraska-Lincoln or any of our Big Ten rivals, will have a dedicated, it's coming, baby, a dedicated admissions officer in the School of Music. And so you want to be talking to admissions people, but also to people who might be your supervisor throughout the degree, and ask a lot of questions. So this was an email I sent to Greg Simon on August 6th of 2019, a little bit before the fall semester started. Mentioned that I had, you know, we had chatted at a conference, and I wanted to talk about Nebraska. Can we talk about Nebraska? And then we started an email thread. We found time to have a phone call, blah, blah, blah. And these were the questions that I asked a lot of schools. I asked these questions in both my master's degree, and my doctorate. What does the faculty look for in new grad students? I wanted to put my best foot forward in my application process. And so I wanted to know if this was the right fit for me and what things I needed to be talking about in my applications. How many people are in the program? Is this a place where they accept a handful of people every year, or there's one new grad student every year? How many composers are we looking, are we dealing with here? Here at Nebraska, we have about 20-ish composers right now, probably. Most of which are undergraduate composers. We have 5 doctoral students at various points in the degree program. And by happenstance, right now, we have 0 master's students. We had 2 master's students graduate last year. And right now, we just happen to not have any master's students. Clarification about the application process, if I had any questions about, you know, what I'm looking at in terms of application requirements. What are things that people in the application process or in their first year of school did not realize that maybe they should have been thinking about in the application process? This is, again, kind of related to that first question of what am I looking for in a grad program, and what are they looking for in me? What type of graduate assistantships are available, and are there teaching opportunities? I wanted to be a teacher. I wanted time in the classroom, you know? And so when I had a phone call with a professor at an R1 institution during my master's search, who said, we give all of our teaching opportunities to doctoral students, and there's really not anything for master's students, I took that school off my list immediately. And then had to suffer through another 30-minute phone call with this person because we weren't at a natural stopping point in the conversation yet. So he let me know, right away that that was not a school that I should bother applying for, because the opportunity that I wanted was not there. If there's no graduate assistantships, are there other funding opportunities? I'm going to use my lovely wife as an example. During her master's degree at Wichita State University, WUSHOC, another flute player received the assistantship, for the flute studio, but my wife was awarded a fellowship that a donor endowed in the School of Music. So she actually received essentially a full tuition funding without any work responsibilities, which was a great deal for her because she could pursue work outside of the institution while being able to afford grad school. So there are different types of fellowship and grant opportunities out there aside from the assistantship, which is usually considered one of the more coveted positions amongst grad students. How long do people take to finish coursework and or the dissertation? University of Nebraska-Lincoln's DMA program is designed to be a 3-year program after master's degree, 3 years in and out. University of, I think when I was talking to Michigan State was about 4 years probably for their doctoral students. And some places can be as long as 5. So that's a factor in all of this. Do you want to be in school for 3 more years after your master's degree if you're a doctoral student? Or how long is it taking to get the degrees that you're after? Again, are there opportunities outside the community? I was really interested in knowing about alumni of the programs and if they were getting jobs similar to what I wanted. because that tells me something about the program as well. And then I was also really interested in doing a cognate during my doctoral degree. So I asked about related areas and those kind of things. There's probably plenty of other questions that you could ask that are related to what you want to do during your degree. So be thinking about the things that you want to ask schools and what are the things that are most important to you in a program. Throughout August and November, that's the time to really get your application materials in order. That can include a CV, that can include a written statement about why you want to go to school there and what you want out of it. That's usually called a personal statement. It could include letters of recommendation from people. So ask for letters of recommendation early. Yes, a CV is a curriculum vitae. I think you spelled that correctly. The CV is similar to the resume, except for that the CV is usually more comprehensive of everything you've done in your academic work, whereas a resume tends to be one or two pages that highlights the specific things for a specific job. You might, if you're a music student, you probably also will have some sort of, you know, sending in of music. If you're a performance major, sending in pieces that you've written in a portfolio as a composer, or maybe writing a paper about musicology or music theory if you're looking to study one of those things. So when I went for my composition degree, I had to turn in 3 to 5 pieces that I had written across different genres and mediums as a portfolio for acceptance into the school. The time to get those materials is always sooner rather than later. You don't want to be waiting until Thanksgiving to record a bunch of pieces for a December 1st deadline, and then something happens in the recording and you have to do it again. It can get really stressful if you wait. Likewise, if you're asking faculty members for recommendations, people who are very busy tend to like things about a month in advance. And so if you're saying, hey, I need you to write a letter of recommendation for me tomorrow, that can get you in a little bit of heat and then not as nice of a recommendation of a letter of recommendation. During this time, as you're getting your materials prepared early and on time, I also encourage you to look for opportunities to beef up your CV. Maybe that's presenting at a conference. Maybe that's gigging and performing around the community. Maybe that's writing more music and having it played. Whatever it is, look for opportunities to beef up that CV with experience so that you put your best foot forward in the application process. And I also recommend joining professional organizations such as the College Music Society, Society of Composers, Inc., the National Flute Association, or whatever professional organizations relate to your field of study. Joining professional organizations provides opportunities as well as networking opportunities and shows that you are active in your field beyond the institution. Any questions right now about application materials and things like that? Great. Traditionally, December 1st is the general application deadline when most things are due. But again, with the caveat that every school is different, and look at each school's deadlines. UNL does not follow the December 1st deadline. Ours is a little bit later. This is general advice. It is not specific advice. Again, please don't wait until the last minute to get your materials in order. I'm begging you, please do your stuff early and on time. Once that application is in, celebrate. Enjoy being done with this part of the process. You have worked hard up to this point and you should celebrate. After that, have patience because December 1st is also around the holidays and finals for the fall semester, which means faculty are not only looking at applications for future students, they're also dealing with their current students and making sure that they have passed all their classes, and they're taking their vacation time to be with their families over the holidays. So please have patience waiting to hear back from schools. The other thing I failed to mention is that when you apply to grad schools, I recommend somewhere in between 3 to 6 schools to apply to. And this again has to do a lot with budget, because as you saw from my spreadsheet, schools cost money to apply to. Most of the time, you can get waivers if you meet certain socioeconomic requirements, or if you ask and you talk to people, there are options to get those application fees waived. But by and large, application fees add up. And I spent probably somewhere in the couple hundred dollars applying to grad schools both times. So 3 to 6 seems to be a magic number. Anything less than 3 and you're really taking a risk, because you don't always know what a school is looking for in a potential grad student, or if they have a spot for a composer right now. Maybe right now they have enough composers and they need more pianists, which I'm not a pianist at all. More than 6, and you know, I it can just get expensive. And this is maybe probably the meanest thing I'll say in school, but if 6 schools have told you no already, what are the chances that a 7th school tells you yes? I don't know. Again, this is general advice. Everybody's situation is going to be different. I applied to 6 schools for my doctoral degree. I only got accepted to 1. And it worked out really well because I'm really happy here. And I'm glad to be, where I am. You know, I'm personally a religious person, so I definitely think the Lord knew what he was doing. But you know, I don't know how much my fortune would have changed if I had added a 7th school to my list. I probably still would have only gotten into the University of Nebraska Lincoln. So those are things to consider. Once you're done, once you've enjoyed your holidays and stuff, the spring semester of that same application cycle is when the auditions and interviews will happen. If a school offers multiple audition dates, I definitely encourage going to as early of a date as you're able to go to. The reason why is because most schools do not wait until all of their auditions are over to make their acceptance decisions. Some places do, but not every place does. So they might offer an assistantship after their first audition and before their second audition. And we would hate for you to miss out on funding opportunities. So by going to an early date and making your best impression as early as possible, you are showing that you're serious about attending an institution. Remember, this is a little bit cliche, and my wife kind of laughed at me for putting this in the presentation, but you're auditioning the school as much as they are auditioning you. And you probably remember that from doing your undergraduate auditions to schools of music. But some places are very vibey that you might not want to go to. I'll use my little sister as an example. She is a BFA musical theater major. She's a freshman at Oklahoma State University. So there's a little bit of football beef between her and myself, who's an OU fan. That's aside, she went to another institution for an audition, and she hated her audition day experience. They had a session with current students, and she was like, so are people like very competitive with each other? Because this is musical theater we're talking about. Are actors very competitive with each other, or do they root for each other? And apparently one of the like upperclassmen girls that was in the session was like, oh yeah, we're all friends and we all like each other. And my sister smelled the BS immediately, that everybody at this institution hated each other. They were not into sociability. They were not into making friends and supporting each other's artistic endeavors. And so that school was off of her list. again, yes, in that case, she was probably not a great actress, but she's really happy at her current school, despite having the wrong Oklahoma football team. She's very happy with the collegiality between the actors at Oklahoma State. So when you go to school, when you go on your auditions and stuff, and you're there in person and you're talking to people in person, think about, are these people that you want to spend your time with for the next 2 to 5 years? April 15th is our magical decision day in music. Music programs are accredited by the National Association of Schools of Music, otherwise known as NASM. And it is a NASM policy that any offers of assistantships are accepted by April 15th, which means that you will probably know an offer sometime in late March or early April about funding. This does not mean you cannot accept a school's offer later than that, but if there's funding involved, that decision has to be made before April 15th, which means once April 15th comes and goes, you should know where you're going to school, which is really exciting. In 433 grad school posting, April 15th we actually wait until April 16th for any waitlisting things to happen. But on the day after April 15th, we make a big celebration thread about who all has gotten into what programs and what they're starting. And it's always a really special day for myself, Millie, and Omar, who want these people to be going to schools because we care about people getting into schools and pursuing their artistic and academic goals. So now that I'm outside the school, the grad school application cycle, April 15th is not a terrifying day anymore. It's a day of celebration for me. April 15th coincidentally happens to be tax day. I don't really know if those things are correlated to each other, but for us, it's grad school acceptance day and knowing where you're going. And then once April 15th comes and goes, celebrate. You've been working on these applications since August at the latest, or, you know, in the fall, at the latest, and it's again time to celebrate before the next big exciting thing in your life, the next chapter in your life starts. So to close this presentation, the last thing I'm going to talk about is the grad student's relationship with Phi Mu Alpha Sinfonia. Grad students, I want to make the point that if you look at our national constitution and bylaws, you will never see in the four classes of membership, active membership. Our four classes of membership are collegiate, probationary, honorary, and alumnus. And we expect all of those people to be active in Phi Mu Alpha. When you're in grad school, you have essentially two options in your kind of status. You can return to collegiate status, or you can join the ranks of alumni throughout the country. So some of the things with being a collegiate brother, if you're interested in reaffiliating with a new chapter of Phi Mu Alpha, the way to do that is in bylaws, Title I, Article I, Section 16. Basically what happens is you present yourself in front of the chapter and a majority vote brings you back into collegiate status. That does mean that you will have to start paying dues again. And that means probably a weekly chapter commitment after a certain amount of years of already doing it. I'm married. I don't necessarily want to be a collegiate brother anymore. The promise I made to myself was I would never go back to collegiate status unless there was some reason why the chapter numbers were so low that they needed bodies in the room to stay afloat. I've been fortunate that the schools I've gone to for my master's and doctoral degrees have not needed me to become a collegiate brother again. Even though I was active and involved in the chapters and provinces where I did those degrees. Most of us, however, will join the rank of alumni. And there's lots of opportunities for alumni. We are in a great period of our history where provincial and national leadership are encouraging the growth and development of alumni associations. So please consider joining your local alumni association or working with alumni Sinfonians around your area to start an alumni association. If you happen to go to a grad school that does not have a collegiate chapter right now, this might be a great opportunity for you to put your resources and time towards activating or reactivating a collegiate chapter at your new school. I'm still waiting on some grad student at the New England Conservatory to reactivate the Alpha chapter. Needs to happen at some point. So whoever that's going to be, do it. You also just, you know, as an alumnus, you have the opportunity to mentor collegiate brothers. This is something that's really important to me, especially in my work as a deputy governor. I love helping out collegiate brothers and making sure that they are as successful as possible, which is why I volunteer my time to work with those guys. Because Sinfonia meant so much to me in my undergrad that I think everybody that wants the experience should have it. And again, please stay active in Sinfonia in some way. Don't become that guy that says, oh, I once was a Sinfonian or anything like that, because once a Sinfonian, always a Sinfonian. Long live Sinfonia. At the same time, I will caution you to avoid being the overbearing alumnus. And remember, this is my side rant, that the singular is alumnus, the plural is alumni. You yourself are not an alumni. You are an alumnus. But that grammatical lesson aside, collegiate brothers do not necessarily need you to tell them how to do everything. That's not our place as alumni who are working at institutions where there isn't a collegiate chapter. We're here to mentor and guide them and be there when they need us. But you don't need to go to chapter meetings and say, oh, you should do it like this because we did it at my home chapter like this. Nobody likes that. That's not fun for anybody. So please, please, please mentor without being overbearing. And with that, that concludes my presentation. These are some ways you can contact me or stay engaged with the content that I put out. But I'd love to open this up to any questions, comments, observations, or concerns that you might have right now.
Comment from me. Something that you said back in the presentation, I was ready to jump all over. So my graduate work was not in the field of mathematics. My graduate work was not in the field of music. There we go. It was in the field of mathematics.
Yes.
I'm sorry. COVID brain still going on. The best advice that I received from somebody at my undergraduate institution, one of my professors told me, if you're going to graduate school for mathematics and you're paying a dime out of pocket, you're doing it wrong. There are tons and tons of financial opportunities, not just in math, but as you mentioned, in music as well, whether it's through an assistantship, whether it's through a fellowship, whether it's through an endowment, whether it's gigging on the regular. Like there are tons of opportunities for funding, and the better financial state you're in when you finish your graduate degree, regardless of whether it's a master's degree or a doctorate degree, the better off you're going to be set up for a happy life. Not having to worry about finances is so big.
Financial security is really important, especially now that we're farther and farther away from parental security and also moving into having our own lives. In between my master's and my doctoral degree, I got married, best choice I ever made. But now I can't just think about my own finances. I have to think about the finances of our two-person household. I've been very blessed that my wife has been able to have full-time employment in her field during the last couple of years. She's the membership manager of the National Flute Association. So if you're a flutist, you'll have received an email from her in the last couple of months. And she's also worked at the Omaha Symphony before. That's been a thing, a financial thing that's worked out for us. I received some what I would call insensitive advice about this kind of topic from my undergrad professor, who said, quote, only suckers pay for grad school. I think it's a little bit more nuanced than that. And it kind of can hurt some feelings, especially when assistantships are limited and not everybody can get things that way. But the point of, you know, knowing what finances, what financial opportunities there are for you, as well as what your financial situation is going to look like. I also need to mention at this point that I'm incredibly privileged to receive the Offmer Fellowship, which pays for all of my funding. If you are on an assistantship or you are offered an assistantship, the most common version of that assistantship is a tuition waiver, but not necessarily a fee waiver. When I was doing my master's degree at Oklahoma, I had my tuition covered, but I still paid about $2,000 a month, or not a month, $2,000 a semester in fees. That, now again, I was privileged to have parental support at that time, which is not an experience everybody has. But now that I'm in my doctoral degree and I'm farther away from that parental support, I was blessed with a fellowship that gives me extra money on top of my assistantship. So I go to school, I actually get a couple hundred dollar refund every semester from my university, which is a privilege that I have had the last couple of years. My colleagues and friends in the School of Music do not all have fellowships like that. So even though they are going to school tuition free, they're still trying to figure out how to pay, you know, a couple thousand dollars to the school every semester. You know, the finances of going to grad school are a really serious topic, the solutions to which I don't have time for in this presentation, nor do I have like the answers to those solutions, especially given my kind of different and less common, you know, financial grad school path.
All right. Any other questions or comments for Brother Herod? All right. Well, in that case, if everybody would join me in thanking Brother Herod for such a wonderful presentation on demystifying the process of applying for grad school in music. Honestly, I learned a lot of stuff, and if I had received even a bit of this when I was applying for grad schools, even in the field of mathematics, which is totally what I studied, it would have helped me to organize a lot. So I think that a lot of our brothers are going to benefit from seeing a presentation like this one.
Well, thanks for having me, Brother Friday.
Absolutely. I'm going to go ahead and stop recording.
Yeah.
If I can figure out how.